From the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, this is Marketing Matters on Business Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Marketing Matters here on Business Radio, Sirius XM 132. I'm Barbara Kahn, the Patty and J.H. Baker Professor of Marketing, and I'm joined by my co-host, Americus Reed, the Whitney M. Young Jr. Professor of Marketing and the Brand Identity Theorist. And today we have some very interesting guests. We have A.J. Pulverendi and Lilia Sori, who are both senior strategists at Movers and Shakers, and they are also the hosts for a full big 2 months, something like that, of a brand new, but the best, as they said,
the
podcast
yes,
called
yes.
Gen Z on Gen Z, brought to you by Movers and Shakers. And they're going to talk to us about what they know about Gen Z.
Yeah.
So welcome, AJ and Lilia.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Awesome.
We're excited to be here.
Excellent.
So we started talking, but we decided to save it for the air. You've been senior strategist at Movers and Shakers, I assume, for a while. But you just started this podcast in March, you said. And it's by my calculations, it's just April. So it's not that long.
Yes.
What made you start a podcast?
Yes.
In this crowded podcast world.
Yeah.
I know, right? I know. There is a lot of podcasts out there, but we noticed there was a gap where Gen Z people from the generation themselves weren't the ones necessarily speaking about the generation. Mm. It was always generations above who were speaking about this generation, but not necessarily by Gen Zers. Mm-hmm. So Gen Z on Gen Z is the podcast that
nice.
Breaks down the generation so other marketers don't have to.
I very, see. Very and nice. So what are some of the big stories? Do you go, are you on every day?
Yeah,
do,
what's
whenever
the, what's
you
the
feel
cadence?
Like?
Yeah.
Or like,
how does this work?
Yeah, so the as of right now, we are releasing around one episode per month.
Wait, it's only been 2 months.
So, yeah.
I love, let but, me just yeah, do it, that it, math.
But they're, wait a minute. They're doing quality, not just quantity, Barbara. So
that's
you know.
Right.
It's good.
So yeah,
good.
It's pretty new, but you'll see each episode we really kind of dive into the cornerstones of Gen Z culture, such as their relationship with money, which is an episode that we launched, as well as their relationship with social shopping,
social
we get
shopping.
Into nostalgia, AI, all that fun stuff.
Gotcha. So what is their relationship with money, AJ, since you sounds like one of the episodes thus far has delved into this?
Yeah, so they are not doing too hot.
Well, that's a true Gen Z-er talking.
Yeah, Lily and I can attest.
We can definitely attest that.
That's funny. That's good.
In the episode, we kind of talk about how they're ruining their parents' retirement funds.
Oh.
Wow.
Other, you know, factors at play. And
yes.
They're the side gig generation, so just constantly working to make a buck or two. And it's an end that we're trying to break.
Gig economy. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, gig economy. Exactly.
Interesting.
And also, I mean, we know from being here at Wharton, like it's a little bit harder recruiting season for some of our students. The economy is like making it a little bit more difficult. I think that's what you're talking about. So you can't necessarily get your dream job.
Interesting. So also because I am a digital immigrant, so I lament to Barbara constantly about the fact that I'm just trying to keep up with all this stuff. In that money episode, one of the things that Barbara and I have seen or observed is this idea that there's a lot more familiarity and tolerance with like digital currency and digital products. Did they talk about this in any sort of substantive way where, they'll buy these. I can't wrap my head around these digital things that you go buy.
Oh,
and,
you mean, oh, yeah. The avatar clothes
and all of this. Here's a new skin for the this and the that. Lilia and AJ, can you tell us like what's going on in their minds? Were they just born into the, I mean, a fish doesn't know what water is. This is just what they're, I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, great question. I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is Gen Z is a generation that really values self-expression and they find every possible avenue to express that, whoever they are and what makes them unique. So for those that are really digitally intertwined with the Robloxes of the world and the Fortnites and those types of websites, they will be willing to spend some extra cash to make sure that their digital avatar or whoever they are online represents who they are as a human IRL. So we're seeing it on those sites, but then also like you know, they get a little pricey when the Louis Vuittons of the world release like $8,000 digital jackets, which might not be for us necessarily,
Yeah.
but more
But I'm not sure
accessible.
who it is for, because like
for those Gen Zers that they really
Right.
do, they get so excited about it.
I
Because also
guess.
you have to remember, this is a generation that spent so much of their time in quarantine during the
Yeah.
pandemic.
That's
And so
fair.
the only way to
True.
truly express themselves a lot of the time was digitally. So you're seeing that kind of manifest and infiltrate into now being more in real life, our IRL. And so you're seeing these behaviors continuing to perpetuate because it really does stem from that long time in lockdown as well.
You know,
Interesting.
that reminds me, for me, the pandemic seems like, oh my God, so long ago. So I have some slides in my decks when I teach, which I refer back to the pandemic, and I've been editing that out because I thought, oh God, that's old story. Do you think that Gen Z is way past the pandemic,
Interesting, right.
or is it still really shaping what they're thinking?
So I think it's twofold. I think although our brains might feel like it's so long ago, I know AJ and I could attest, it does feel like a very long time ago. But those behaviors and those ingrained active things we do every day are still really much influenced by some of those behaviors that we cultivated during the pandemic.
Interesting.
So although our conscious brain might not necessarily be thinking about the pandemic and it might not be thinking about quarantine, we're still acting, you know, in a lot of ways, and that also goes into festival season, which we could talk about later
Yeah.
on.
Yes, we
But
will.
the
Yeah,
reason
right.
so many Gen Zers get excited to go to Coachella and are spending money that they don't have on these festivals is because a lot of that pandemic brain is still there of like, make the most. You only live once. This could happen again. We have to live, live, live. So it
Interesting.
really does influence a lot of our
You know what's
actions.
interesting is that's what they said about the generation even older than boomers, the depression babies. You know, even when they had a lot of money, they couldn't never spend it because they remember at a very critical time being coming of age during the depression. And that's kind of what you're saying about
Yeah,
pandemic. You
it
know,
totally
if you
is.
come of age when a time when you're locked up in your house,
Interesting.
you'll never not value, you know, going outside and having the freedom to do what you want to do.
Interesting.
Which is
Totally.
interesting, yeah.
Let me ask you a question, AJ and Lilia. I'm trying to get a more robust characterization of how Gen Zers, what they think about marketers and brand and like being marketed to. Like, what's their perspective? Do they notice these things? Is it so conflated with entertainment and TikTok and all these other things that they don't really, you know, create a trace of? I mean, what are their thoughts in terms of that?
A great question. I think right off the bat, something that comes to mind for me is, you know, not to bring it back to the pandemic, but we were trying to constantly find avenues to entertain ourselves and just find joy in maybe the mundane or et cetera. And it's really a responsibility for brands from the point of view of Gen Z nowadays to really show up in a very entertainment first format. So, and a great example of a brand that does this is e.l.f. Cosmetics. They recently, like, not only do they
Yeah.
have a really entertaining social presence, but they always go the extra mile to create these like long form mini movies for their audience, or like do reality shows online to engage them like immediately, right? So it's engaging your audience, showing up to them or showing up with them as like honestly framing the brand as a friend
Yeah.
to Gen Z, I think is super important.
I love the way they
Totally.
talk about long form and short form. You know, it's like
Right. Yes.
short form is very
Yeah.
short, like,
Very
right?
short, right.
Yeah. And long form is a whole long 10 minutes.
Yeah, the attention spans are dwindling, so you got to
Yeah.
keep up.
Long form is
Yeah.
10 minutes. That's
I mean,
good.
I think
Yeah.
that's kind of what they're saying.
Yeah.
So you've alluded to it a couple times, and I am really interested in the marketing opportunity in these festivals. So I guess the season starts with Coachella. Is that the first one?
That's right.
And
I just
so,
got back yesterday.
oh,
I
you
was
went
wow.
there.
Very
Also,
nice.
tell me, did you
Doing
see Travis
research.
and Taylor? Did you see them in the
Oh, dear.
audience? Did I see who? Oh, no, they were weekend one. I was
Oh,
weekend two. I
Oh,
okay.
missed
All right.
them. I
So, all
know.
right. So now, in light of what we've been talking about and the pandemic head and, you know, all this other kind of stuff, the festival season, and there's a number of festivals like all over the place, all different kinds of music, all different kinds of opportunities. So, how important is this as an advertising spend? I mean, how important do you
Right.
think it is
Right.
just in general? And then we can talk about specifics, what you get to do at these.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is incredibly important because, again, that's where your audience is going. Gen Z is spending that money on these festivals. They are flying out, they are traveling, whether it's Coachella, whether it's Stagecoach, Governor's Ball, Outside Lands, you're seeing all these lineups all summer long roll up on your feeds, and they are saying, we gotta go, we gotta be a part of these cultural moments. So brands also need to be a part of those cultural moments, whether it is on the ground itself, which we can talk a little bit about in detail, and then also virtually, digitally, because not every brand can, let's say, afford to be on the ground at Coachella, but they can afford to participate in conversations. And we're happy to explain that further, but there's two vast opportunities, whether it's there in person or completely fully digitally.
Interesting.
I think we should.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
Yeah, break it down.
Before you do that, though, I want to just comment quickly on, I guess this past Friday, I guess Taylor Swift dropped an album with 32, 33, 34 new songs.
She
so
did.
did, I mean, did the internet blow up? I mean, did the world stop suddenly? It seems like, the Swiftie economy is
Yes.
something that's big
Yeah. Let
with the Gen
me even
Zers.
paint that picture a little further, which is just because I was at Coachella when she dropped this album. When I tell you, we were on the shuttle bus to the festival and everyone had earbuds in, listening to her album. So you are in motion to go listen to music live, and you will have the influence of Taylor Swift right in the palm of your hand, and you are taking advantage of that moment.
That's
So
amazing.
yes, the world definitely stops whenever she releases something.
Yeah, it
Interesting.
was the quickest album to ever receive 1 billion streams, and mind you, that was accomplished in 5 days.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just
Wild.
remarkable. Wow.
And she was at Coachella the weekend before,
The
just
weekend
being a
before,
normal
just
person,
being a normal
kind
person.
of. She was just enjoying
Being normal,
herself.
with air quotes, as Barbara says, is being quite
All right,
normal.
so you line this up. There's two opportunities. You don't have to be on the ground to take a to benefit from it. But what you said was you have to be in the conversation. So how so and that happens before and after and during, or and how does that work if you're not even going to be there? How do you get to be in the conversation?
Totally. So prior to the festival, it's important, that's the time when your audience who are attending the festivals are getting ready to figure out what they're wearing and what their hair should look like and how to show up at the festival. So, I mean, there's a really strong opportunity for maybe more so fashion and beauty brands to share inspiration with their audience of what they can use to, again, going back to self-expression, really express themselves on the grounds. There's also, during the festival itself, Coachella in particular does a great job at live streaming the events. I'm unsure if the upcoming festivals will, but if they do, it's really imperative for brand managers to like have that live stream going on in the background to see if there's any key moments that happen that, whether it's in a perfect world, your brand gets mentioned or something really big and culturally like shaking occurs that you can then create content around thereafter,
So
like in a very
let me ask you
fashion.
something about that, because it reminds me, Americus once did something, I think it was on Hidden Brain or something like that, where you talked about the identity of, when you're going, I think you were talking about in your high school or something like that, all the different crowds that have identity.
Yes.
And it sounds like that's what these brands are doing. So when you go to these festivals, like,
Interesting.
is there an identity that you're supposed to, I mean, like, do you
What
know
are the
what I'm at?
segments?
Maybe you can
Yeah, no,
explain
that's a,
what
that's I think you're saying it exactly correct. It's sort of like, the cliques. What are the cliques there? What are the subgroups at Coachella? Like, can you identify those
And how do the brands
and how do
play
the
into
brands
that?
play into those?
Yeah. Oh, go for it, Lilia.
I was just gonna, I'll just say one thing on that. I think that's the beauty of a festival, right? You get so many different subgroups cultivating over different types of artists, different types of fashion trends. It really is where so many different types of people come together to enjoy a common thing. And I think that's why it's so fruitful for brands, because you honestly are getting an easy way to speak to so many people of so many different groups, because there's a lot of different interests there. Because to your point, there are different cliques. Let's say you have the rave girlies, and then you have
That's what I'm thinking.
The
and then you have more of the jam
rave
band
girlies.
people,
Wow.
the rave girlies.
Nice. That's nice.
But you really get an opportunity to
That's
speak to
interesting.
so many different types of niche groups in one under one umbrella.
And is that part of it? See and be seen, that kind of thing? Like, it really reminds me a lot of that episode you did, Americus, when you were talking about that's when you were young, you got into this whole brand identity thing.
Totally, totally. Yeah. No, it's a big thing. Lillian, AJ, give us, what did you see at Coachella that you thought was incredible from the perspective of a branding? And what did you see there that perhaps didn't quite hit the mark and from a, you know, from those people that brands that were trying to participate in that approach?
Totally. So So that brings us to the on the ground activations, right? So since I was there, I was able to kind of get a look at who was activating right there at Coachella. I know, for example, I didn't go in personally, but the line for the Coca-Cola activation, they had a pop-up. And again, I didn't go inside, but the line was so long, you would think a headliner was there. It was huge. It was a massive line.
Wow.
And I was, and then you garner intrigue, right? Because you have this long line. I'm still wondering, I should look it up after this, like what was going on in there. So that was an interesting thing to see. Uh-huh. Heineken House was also really cool because what they did, knowing that they are a 21 and up, you know, group, because Coachella is open to young people as well, under 21.
Gotcha.
Heineken House, 21 and up, they had DJs like Lupe Fiasco hosting and DJing at the Heineken House itself. So that garnered a lot of interest, and they're only selling Heineken. So personally, I don't really drink beer, but I wanted to go see Lupe Fiasco. So I got some beer. I drank a Heineken. So I was like, I'm going to go do it.
Interesting.
So you see things like that because they know they have that leverage. And then you see things like there was an electrolytes brand that did, I think it's literally called Electrolyte, spelled with a Y. And they did a pop-up because they know people are thirsty. And so what they usually do is they maybe market to younger people or, you know, people with any health concerns. But at Coachella, they said, oh, we're going to, you guys are dehydrated. You're out in the sun.
Yep.
We're going to do a pop-up. We're going to pass out little shooters of electrolytes.
Nice.
And we went back to that that pop-up, I think like 5 times over the weekend just to get a little bit of hydration.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then you also have opportunities like sponsorships. So the clothing brand Mad Happy was sponsored at Coachella and worked in collaboration with Coachella to create merchandise. And you saw that with a lot of different brands. If you even go on the Coachella website, they have a page of all of their partnered brands for their merch.
Wow,
and you can purchase merchandise from a brand that you might be familiar with, which is always exciting.
Interesting.
I'm Barbara Kahn, along with America 3. This is Marketing Matters. And today we're joined by AJ Polverenti and Lily Asori, both senior strategists at Movers and Shakers. And they're talking about what's going on in the festival season. Mm. And you're talking about brands and products doing pop-ups or doing some kind of experience that really fits into the thinking of what's going on there. You know, drinking and listening to music, you were saying, or creating something. And I'm thinking about sponsorships. Like when I look at a baseball game or something, they'll like have sponsorships there for, or advertising opportunities for hospitals or insurance companies or things that don't really fit in with a baseball game, and yet they still advertise.
Right.
Do you see that at the festivals, or is it much more playing into the culture? Because those are the examples you're giving us that do fit in better. I didn't hear anything about like...
Right.
Do your life insurance now.
Yeah, right. The AARP booth was not too many
I'll
people
I'll be honest,
there.
I didn't see an AARP booth there. So that is a really excellent point. Like there are definitely brands that might feel like not as natural of a fit to be at a festival. But I think the key there is figuring out, let's say, and I'm trying to think since I was there, I'm not sure, AJ, if you can think of any that you saw on social of brands that might not be the most intuitive to a festival. But I think the key there is figuring out, okay, let's say if I'm out of the realm of festival life, what is my one corner of the cake that is resembles something that you would want or need at a festival? And I think that's kind of where you have to find the common ground with your Gen Z audience.
So like if I reinterpret what you're saying, like a lot of times when these things are done at baseball fields or whatever, it's really done just for awareness. Let me get my brand name in front of all those people. But you're
totally an awareness play.
Yeah, but you're saying that what you're seeing is more experiential. So it's not just building awareness. It's building engagement.
And cultural relevance.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you have to remember, because Gen Z values authenticity so deeply, marketers have to understand that if they come with the AARP booth, it's not going to feel authentic.
Well, I can see how that's a particularly bad example.
So you have to really be strategic about what comes off in a more authentic way, knowing that your audience values authenticity above all else.
And then let me talk about it, traditional advertising, like in a 360 degree kind of thing. Once you do something there at Coachella, and you were talking about physical versus social, do you see these campaigns that link to each other and that there's a building on this kind of thing? Can you talk about an example like that?
I think so. I think, I mean, dating apps do a really good job at this. I
know that seems appropriate.
Yeah. But it's also one of those things where it's, you're going to a festival and you're not immediately thinking dating, but you know, there is
some. Oh, I bet it's on your mind, something related.
I don't know, Barbara. I spend all my time in Bible study, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Tinder does a good job at doing what AJ has spoken about earlier, about teasing different pieces of festival content, then engaging with festival content from, you know, virtual space, while also having their foot on the ground and having like QR codes going around of your profile so you can date. There's different ways of infiltrating the in-person and virtual reality. So that's an example that we saw this year that was really interesting.
AJ, we have 1 minute. I want you to tell us quickly, what are you seeing in terms of the big trends that we have to pay attention to with respect specifically to Gen Z? You've got 1 minute, sir. Please.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You got it, AJ.
Question. I think we're seeing a real rise in subcultures and just like the values and the attention put on them, like anime culture.
Interesting.
Book talk is major, major, major right now. We're also seeing a disconnection from social. There's a loneliness epidemic happening within Gen Z culture. So they really want to connect and build deeper relationships offline with their friends and their family.
Good timing since TikTok's going away.
Yeah. What else, AJ? What else have you got for us?
Let's think.
I mean, those are some big ones. I mean, I think your point about, you know, counterculture and subcultures and like really figuring out, you know, how do I fit in and moving away from being lonely to, you know, engaging with others and maybe brands less so might be something to be taking a look at. So interesting.
Totally. And to that point, we're also seeing, it's funny enough, but like social media has become very just media recently. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot of new
that was my point
that
too.
Focus on that. Social.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree with that. Well, AJ and Lilia, as America's told you, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today. And where can our listeners go to follow this best new podcast you have and learn about what's going on at Movers and Shakers?
Yeah, so our podcast is called Gen Z on Gen Z. You can listen to it anywhere you listen to podcasts. And you can learn more at moversandshakers.co.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much. That's all we have time for today. We replay our show every Wednesday. Oh, no, we're here every Wednesday, and we replay it several times.
Yes.
We're here at Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m., and we replay our shows throughout the week. You can find out more about us at Knowledge at Wharton or at SXM Business. Thank you all for listening today. We'll be back next week. Till then, this has been Marketing Matters. I'm Barbara Kahn, here with America's Read, Business Radio, Sirius XM 132.